Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Core. This is Core, late in the week, though. Sunday is when we're doing it, September 29th, 2019. I had a thing Wednesday, so we couldn't do a show. And the other two guys were like, hey, man, that'd be cool if we did it then. That's fine. Let's do it after our dungeon show, which, you know, can be a little exhausting. So we're going to, you know, try to keep our heads and have some fun. And it might be a little shorter today, but we didn't want to leave you this week without something. So a Sunday Core, or as the chat room just coined it, Irwin in the chat says, Evren says, Sunday Core, a.k.a. Score. That's pretty good.
Oh, that's a good one.
Well done. Nice, nice work.
Do you guys have Score up in the state? Up in the States.
No, nobody's down in the scored States. Here ever.
What,
Score, the chocolate bar.
Oh, yeah, we have that. Okay. We have. Don't you have Score, John? We have Score.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm not a big chocolate person, so I don't notice what we have very much.
Hold on. Score Bar is let's see if we can find it here. It is a...
That's fair.
It's like toffee, right? Inside, mm-hmm. Like hard and chewy, yeah. Like bad for your teeth, and then the is chocolate
that?
Outside.
That sounds good. Maybe sticks I should have teeth. A Score Bar.
Yeah.
Score's pretty good, but it's hard to work up the will to buy it. Just because you know you're going to be digging it out of your teeth.
That's my problem with... I had one of the new Butterfingers. And
haven't they always been like that, or the new ones are worse?
They've always been like that, but this new Butterfinger, I mean, I don't know, either it's worse or my teeth are just worse and there's more to pick out. But yeah, it was like, all right, I had fun eating it, but now I've got an excavation site in my mouth and I have to just do this for the next ever.
Interesting. I'm looking here. Oh yeah, they did change the formula a little bit. I wonder if it will remain Wisconsin's most popular Halloween candy this year, because it was last year.
Is that? That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I would think Wisconsin would just give cheese, but that's because I just know one thing about a state and assume that that's applicable to everything.
Yep. See? How about this? Most popular. This will only take me a second, of course. And then we'll talk about video games, internet.
Hey, it's kind of October almost. I think we can talk about Halloween candy.
Yeah,
and
why
things
not?
Like that.
I agree. Okay, so it says here, Halloween candy, most popular in Arizona, or in the Phoenix area, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Let's see if it will tell me. Oh my gosh, really? Candy corn? Wow.
Oh, wow. I think I'm the reason that stat exists. I always fall for candy corn every October. I'm like, man, I'm in the mood for some Halloween candy. And I go there and I just see the big bag of candy corn. Mm-hmm. I buy it. I can't help it. It's good in a like terrible way, but it's good.
I know. I'm slow to admit it sometimes, but if there's a bowl of candy corn, I'm into it. I know a lot of people think it's horrendous and the worst thing ever made, but I think I like a good candy. And there are, by the way, levels of quality to candy corn. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you. I would eat candy corn at your house. No problem.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get the good stuff. Mm-hmm. I had one that I thought I was given a candle. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, what is this? I still ate like a bunch of them, but it was not good.
No.
Not as good.
And they have the other kind that are like little pumpkins and stuff like that. I don't count any of that. I mean, they could be almost the same stuff for all I know. I'm just talking, there's something about the size, the shape, the three-layered structure of a traditional mm-hmm. candy corn that I am just fine with. It's fine. Bo, what do you eat up there?
What's good? Is candy corn like a, what is it?
They look like corn. They look like a long kernel of corn. On the tip top, it's the yellow. And then in the middle is the orange, I think. And then the very tip is white.
Oh, yeah. No, these are disgusting.
Now it comes out. The Canadians, anti.
Well, I'm not going to speak for all of Canada. They sell it en masse here. I'm not a candy eater, so.
It's not your bag.
Not my bag.
I understand.
Yeah, what do you do for Halloween? Do you get yourself a Halloween treat?
Yeah.
I mean, I might pick up some of those chocolate bar things. That's about it.
Chocolate bars. just gonna go to the store, get a chocolate bar.
When I used to go trick-or-treating, I would dump out my bag, take out all the chocolate, and leave the rest for someone else.
Interesting. You know, I feel like that's okay. That sounds all right to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the chocolate up there, well, it's in other parts of the world is better than here. I assume Canada's also got better chocolate than us, but
we have, I think, all the same stuff, right? Like it's O. Henry's and Reese's and
oh my gosh,
we have the same stuff. Literally starts with one. We don't.
You don't have O. Henry?
I don't think we have O. Henry.
No.
Hold on. O.
Really?
Henry.
That bar. Can't be right. Really?
Let me look that up. O. Henry appears to be. Well, I guess you can get them here, but these are rare here. I've never heard of it. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's strange. Yeah. O. Henry is a chocolate bar. Okay. Well, O. Henry, you have Reese's, obviously.
We have Reese's. Smarties. Yeah. Smarties, sure. Although they aren't the same.
I don't like Smarties. Plus, that feels I got duped.
Yeah, Smarties are no good, but also I think Smarties are different. Bo's Smarties are different than our Smarties. Our Smarties are the tiny little tablet, half sort of sourish rolls of candy. I don't think those are what they get up there. I think it's different. I could be wrong. Oh, I know that's true in the UK.
I was going to say, our Smarties feels like somebody's tricking you into a vitamin, but it has no nutritional value.
Yeah. They're chalk dots, as Daniel J. Newman accurately says in the chat. I believe that is a great way to describe those.
I don't know if they're different or not, but that's something you'll find in your trick-or-treat bag.
Well,
up here.
Here's what you'll find in our trick-or-treat bag. I'm just going to talk about some games and thoughts and stuff that we've been playing this week, not really picking a major topic. We'll do more of that next week. I mean, Wednesday's literally 3 days away, so you get all your full, fresh, hot, right off the oven, or out of the oven business, then. By the way, speaking of ovens, I have one quick question for you guys. Would this concern you at all that my stovetop of the oven, one of the burners for no reason just stopped igniting? It still has the ignition thing going. So it's a gas oven, or it's a gas burner.
Okay.
So when you turn it on, you get this click, 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 and it's like it's going to start the gas on fire, right? Yeah. And once it does that, the click, then you roll over to whatever heat you want. And one of them stopped doing it. In order to test it, you have to turn it on and keep clicking and trying to figure it out. Meanwhile, your house is being flooded with the smell of natural gas. And that seems bad, right?
So as described, yes, that sounds bad.
All right. I mean, you know, it sounds like the way a barbecue works. Like if you leave the lid closed and turn the gas on and then come back to it later with the lid closed, it just explode.
Kind of. Yeah. Like that's absolutely true. So anyway, I'm not too worked up about it, except just to say that I don't like stuff like that. And I guess I should probably call somebody, but I really wish I could just fix it myself.
I mean, you could just disable it for now, right? Can't you do that?
I don't even know. How does one do that? You just cut it open and dig around. Like, I don't know what you're doing.
No, you definitely don't do that when dealing with gas. You definitely don't just get in there.
Okay. What do you do? Call a professional? Is that really the only thing I should
do? You know what? When dealing with gas and lighters and things like that, and if your house really does smell like gas, then yes, you call a professional.
Okay.
Immediately.
All right. This is good advice. That's what we're going to do. Because all the other burners are fine. And if it's not on, there's no gas coming out. It's just the igniter's not working. And it's probably just a little part that handles the ignition. And that's all it is. But to test it, we have to keep going. Psh, click, click, click. Nope, still not working. Oh, I'm getting woozy in here. Nobody light a match. Like, it's that kind of thing, right?
Does it expel that much gas into the air, though, compared to a barbecue?
Well, enough to stink it up. I mean, I don't know. I actually don't know. The smell
you want to probably be really careful with that.
Yeah, yeah. The smell is probably worse than the actual, how much it's dissipating or, you know, traveling or whatever. Anyway, it's super annoying. And we've cleaned it out. We've done everything. We can't figure out what the hell's wrong. So it's something else.
Home maintenance can be a danger, Scott. So, you know, use precaution.
Good advice. Has never been more greatly given. Okay, we're going to talk about some stuff we're playing. For some reason, my house became the Switch party house. And here's why. Up till this point, we had a Switch. It was a single Switch. It would play Switch games. People would come and they would say, hey, can I play on the Switch? Yes, you can. Okay, they'll go play it portably for a while. Or, hey, it's hooked up to the TV. Let's go play Mario Maker or whatever. Just been a thing. Switch Lite comes out, and I decide about, I don't know, whatever it was, a month ahead, that I would pre-order one. And along with that, Link's Awakening. And I did. So I had a yellow one coming. It arrived. And it was such a hit that now everybody just about in the house went ahead and got Switches also. So now there are three Switch Lights in the house, which is insane. Oh, and they all did it with their own money, their own jobs, their own, you know, totally out of my purview. Not anything I control or do. And so Nick and Carter both got one. Kim doesn't care. She's fine with phone games, John. She's totally cool with a good phone game.
Hey, you know what? We all have our different levels of play.
That's right. And I know we haven't gone too deep on the show yet about what I think about all those Apple Arcade games, but I have played a great number of them, have lots of thoughts, and I will save it for Wednesday after I knock out a couple of more, because I will say I'm impressed with what they've done. And I also am concerned about longevity, because I don't know how the developers continue to make money. I have some thoughts about all that. So we'll get to that.
Right.
The business model is weird. But the quality of those games is a gigantic cut above what you're used to with mobile games. And some are originals, some aren't, but the originals are pretty impressive. And those that aren't are also good. And there's really not a dud in there that I can find yet, although I haven't played everything yet. We'll get to that next week, but my wife is happily tooling away on a few of those. But anyway, so Switch is all around. And my daughter quickly borrowed Link's Awakening from me, even though I had barely cracked it, probably 2 hours into it. And she's like, oh, I want to play. I got my new Switch. Let me play. I said, okay, fine. So she went off to play that. And I went, well, there's me without my new game. I guess until that comes back to me, I'll just... And this cartridge, by the way, that she borrowed. I'm like, what do I have around here that I feel like I should have finished, or, you know, just didn't get to or whatever? And... it's funny, Link's Awakening, like WoW Classic, drove me to play Zelda Breath of the Wild, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, just like I'm playing modern WoW. So like I had to play the old game, and then I got all inspired to go play the newest thing. The same thing happened here. So I've been playing Breath of the Wild again, and man, that game is so good. There are problems, you know, the breaking... I decided to go into it this time... and John, I know you said something to me on Twitter about this, but I went into it this time going, I know the weapons break a lot. I know that's an annoying mechanic for me. But I know the game wants me to be creative with it and to figure out ways to maximize what weapons I have and how I use them and when to get rid of them, when to pick up new ones, that sort of thing. So yeah. I'm playing it more with that in mind, and I see what they meant to do. I'm not saying it's still the greatest idea in the world, but it's okay. It's not a problem. I kind of wish I could repair them. That would be cool.
Right.
Like just go to a town and say, yeah, this sword sucks. Please fix it.
Or even, so I don't know if you remember this, but back in the days of Zelda 64,
yeah,
there you got the Master Sword. It was kind of your solid mid-tier sword. It was very powerful and all of that. But then they forged a, it's either called the Bigoron or the Big Goron or the Goron Sword, something like that. And it was this giant two-handed sword that Link could use that was way more powerful than even the Master Sword.
Right.
But it had some drawbacks. The first was you had to wear your shield on your back because it was two-hander.
Yeah.
And the second was that the sword would break.
Yeah.
But there was a very long quest that took you through the course of the game, and you had to meet certain requirements and certain things. And the big reward at the end of all of that for doing it was a version of the sword that would not break. And I kind of wish something like that existed in this game, right? Like, mm-hmm. Okay, let's see your mechanic. Let's understand the mechanic. But maybe when we get to the end of the game, when this all gets kind of trivial anyway, maybe just give me an awesome sword that's fine all the time.
And that's, kind of what you get with the Master Sword in this game. But even that, I think, has its break limit.
Yeah, and you got to recharge it or something.
Yeah,
like that.
You got to go recharge it or go get another one. Or I can't remember how it works. Because I never got that far because that thing annoyed me so much. But that game really does some cool stuff, and I just kind of forgotten how cool it is. So I started a whole new run, and I've been having a blast in there, really enjoying it, and paying way more attention to the minutia of it, appreciating the modernization of a lot of the stuff they tried to do. I'm very excited about this next one they got coming out, which is, I don't know if it's a direct sequel to this, but it's definitely in that, you know, Breath of the Wild look and feel and world and stuff like that. I just think it's a really neat game, and I'm super into it. So I've been playing that, a bunch of old indie games as well. And I'm playing, I'm replaying Steam World Heist because I think it might be perfect on there. It's like the perfect marriage of video game and console style. And I'd love that game.
Is that the one that's XCOM-y
a
little bit?
Yes.
Okay.
Very XCOM-y. Get undercover, turn-based. You can move so much during a turn. You can do extra movement, but lose your attack. It's all that. It's that stuff. And it's so, I love those guys. Everything they make is cool. I've played every game they've made and I've loved them all, but there's something about Heist. I hope there's a sequel for Heist at some point because Heist is so good and it's not that old. I think it came out in late 2016 or something. Like that.
It wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't too long ago. And if they're going to do, they did a Dig sequel, which is one of the best games I've played in the last couple of years. There's no reason not to make a Heist sequel, so get on it, boys. Get in there. And ladies, I'm sure there's ladies there. I don't know. How do I know? I have no idea.
I mean, I would assume, that seems like a good way to go.
So a lot of that, of course, World of Warcraft still a thing. I'm still hopping in, still doing my stuff. I know you got flying, and I was pissed because I was sure I was ahead of you, but there's no, I wasn't. You were way ahead of me, so nice job.
So that's the secret that I've learned about WoW, is that I'm apparently... I can take ridiculously long breaks and come back and somehow be relevant. I don't know if it's just I'm good at finding those little niches that get you the big boost out of nowhere or what, but all of a sudden I was talking to Ben about it and I was like, yeah, you know, this is where I'm at right now. And he's like, wait, you have more artifact power than me? And I said, I guess.
How's that possible? And, holy crap.
I was like, I had no idea. Yeah. You know, I'm only a couple eye levels off from the raid team and, you know, I've got flying and things like that. I was like, when did I do this? I haven't been playing. I've taken months off of that game, but apparently I have somehow done just enough to stay relevant.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different activities in the game. I could see someone playing a lot and not really progressing on those things where you might have.
Well, see, I think Bo's right. Like I was playing a lot one night, just cranking on rep that I have left. And all I have left is Nezhatar and the freaking Mechagon stuff. That's it. Everything else is done for those Pathfinder deals. But I decided just for no reason to go to Pandaria and run some solo raids just to get transmog because I liked good, cool gear stuff. So I went and ran Mugushan Vaults and freaking, I don't remember the other ones, but I went and ran them all. And then I even did a couple of Warlords dungeons, or not dungeons, raids that I never did or finished just to get some transmog. And that's the problem, because once I got sucked into that, that ain't giving me no rep, you know, like I'm grinding a very different kind of grind. And I was, as much as I enjoyed it, and I'm not saying to people they should, you know, beeline anything, but you have always had this ability to do that. You just rip through it and you and you're at the end, you're better off than everybody. And, you know, I don't understand why that works that way for you, but it does.
It's weird because I rebel against so many of these systems. I'm like, you want me to do rep? No.
Yeah.
But somehow I have flying for all the past expansions. I mean, I know there is a point where I just suck it up and I go, okay, I'm going to dedicate myself to it for a little bit. And that's what I did with Mechagon and Nazjatar. But you had an extra rep, right? Like, there was some of the older ones too. It wasn't just that you had to do the two new ones.
Yeah, those are the big focus now. But for a while there, it was the Tertullian stuff and Tertullian. Yeah. There was, I had a little left over on whatever Magni makes you do. What's that one called? I forgot. Something of Azeroth, Defender or Azeroth, yeah. Whatever it is. I did his.
The Stonemasons.
I didn't have a ton of theirs left. And I also spent some time already being revered with a couple and didn't notice and just kept doing it. And then realized, oh shit, they're done. They're revered. What am I doing? And then I really focused on the other two. So again, I think I'm explaining pretty well why I'm behind and you're ahead. I think you're better at saying, ah, here's my objective. I shall now go do it. Right. And I'm going, here's my objective. And here's a nice shiny thing that I got distracted by in this
world. Sure. And now I'm doing the thing you're doing, but I'm doing it as the reward for, okay, I've powered through these reps now. Yeah. Rather than push for Exalted, I'm going to take a little bit of a break and pick up armor and stuff like that.
Bo, did you slow your roll on Classic, or what happened to that with you?
Oh, I just haven't logged in. I think my month is up too that I paid for. Yeah. So
you're good.
Probably out.
You're probably good for now. Yeah.
Like, I want to keep playing, but it's a lot of time, and my time's been spent doing other things, so I just really haven't had a chance to continue on with it.
Well, I get you. I'm just starting to see the separation with my friend group. So, like, who's sticking with it and who isn't. That's starting to be now. Like, now is the time I'm noticing it. And I'm noticing in my friends list, like, oh, these eight people who were only in Classic every day are now all in Modern. What are they doing? And I would talk to a couple of, like, oh yeah, just, you know, I kind of hit a limit and I'm back to this, and I'm actually enjoying this more than ever. Like, I still say it's what Blizzard did was brilliant, because it just gave people what they wanted, that wanted Classic real bad, and they're going to be happy. And then it gave a bunch of other people a chance to play a thing and then get inspired to go play the thing they already have and appreciate it more for other reasons. And like, there was a no loss scenario for Blizzard on this. And I think that's
and like, all, you know, ultimately out. there was an audience for it. So like I said, once the surge of it sort of goes away, cause it's a Blizzard game, the people who wanted that so they could RP or whatever can still have it.
Yep. This is all true. And then the weirdest thing of all. Here's the weirdest thing of all. I got that Epic installer, right? Or the Epic store there that no one loves.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And the one thing I will say about that service, and that's consistently been great, and I don't know, you know, they're obviously paying through the nose to make this happen, but they have these free games every couple of weeks. And they've all been really good and, like, high-tier stuff. Like, not crappy stuff you've never heard of, or, you know, throwaway games or games that are 9 years old, although in this case it's some of that. But they put on this last time a package of Batman games that span everything from the entire Arkham series, so Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight. It does not include Origins, by the way. That Batman Origins game is not included in that, and probably not in people's lists of games they would like to play, because Origins was weird. Origins wasn't good. It was a different team. Like, it just wasn't the same. But anyway, then it also includes all three of the Lego Batman games, which are pretty fun in their own dumb way. But anyway, all six of those games, just free. Just come to Epic, get them. They're yours. Don't even have to install them. Just sign up that you got them, and now they're there, and you can always install them if you want. So I just got this hair at my butt. I'm like, dude, I want to just see how this stuff holds up, especially the first one. Let's go back and look at Arkham Asylum, which really established this new series and just blew everyone's mind at the time. And in my mind, probably was the thing that finally changed at least my perception. I think probably more broadly it happened. But for me anyway, it changed this perception that comic book movies and tie-in movies in general, for movies or TV or whatever, are always bad. And then suddenly with this series, that was not true anymore. And since then, I feel like that perception has not only improved overall, but there have been many more examples that have come and gone that were good and reminded you that, oh, yeah, you can have good tie-ins. It's just a matter of giving a crap and putting it in the hands of a good team. And you get games like Spider-Man on the PS4, which is still one of the best things ever. And also, you could also argue that Spider-Man game doesn't exist without the ground laid by the Arkham Knight games, or the Arkham games. So anyway.
Yeah, that changed combat for a lot of video games going forward.
Oh, big time. And it just certain concepts about open world as a macro concept and then bringing it down close again to a micro fight and how you can do that in a way that feels right. Like they were really ahead of their time, I think. And, you know, I say open world, but that first game was, you know, Arkham Asylum, but it was still open world. It was like, you know, you could move around in it in such a way as the game progressed that it was an open world game.
It was a little bit more like a Castlevania or a Metroid.
Yeah, Metroid's the better example, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, it has some of that for sure.
For sure. And then City definitely opened it up to be more open world. And then Arkham Knight, which came out in 2015, which still looks incredible, by the way, is, you know, the third and final game that we got out of those guys, at least for now. So anyway, I installed all three just to screw around. And the first two games are in Unreal Engine 3. And I can't believe I would ever say these words, but it's finally showing its age. Like, at the time, that stuff was mind-bogglingly good-looking. It's okay now. Like, it looks, yeah. It's serviceable, but dudes are chunky looking and weird. Some texture stuff's kind of bad. The effects aren't there really. I mean, Unreal Engine 4 revision, whatever we're at now, is just it's heads and tails beyond that. So that's my initial reaction was like, oh, this doesn't look as good as I remember it looking. But the gameplay's still there, and that's a really cool game. But then I got to thinking, well, let's see what these other two are like. So I did the same thing. Second one, better, but still kind of looks like a 360 game. But the new one, or the newish one that came out in 2015, was obviously, you know, on PCs and newer consoles at the time. PlayStation 4, you know, our current console lineup. And it is miles better looking. Anyway, that's just an aesthetic note, just something I noticed on the surface. But I played a ton of at least two of these and decided that I'd figured out why I really like Arkham Knight. And I'd like it more than the others. And I know that's a lot of people.
You like it more than both.
I like it more than the other two combined. Mm-hmm. And that's weird. I know it's weird because a lot of people think Asylum's where it's at because that's the core concept and that was the best that they ever really executed on it, uh-huh. Blah, blah, blah. And I would argue that's also the best. If you're saying to me, hey, Scott, what's the one that's most like Metroid? If you're a huge Metroid fan, which one's going to satisfy you the most? One will. Okay. I get that. But why I like three the most, Arkham Knight the most, I think, is going to irritate some people. It's basically Batman Fury Road. And here's why it is. Because in the beginning of that thing, Scarecrow puts a new toxin out that they end up evacuating the entire city for. So all of Gotham City is empty. And what has taken over, those who haven't left, are just the criminal aspects of it. So gang members. And they're basically just crazy bald dudes with jacked up cars with weird rocket launchers on the side of it. Going full Mad Max in the Batman world. And it's your job to try to go and stop it. So it's just like this freewheeling open world mess of a crap heap that used to be Gotham, and now it's just it's a wasteland. And I think that's it. I think I finally as I've started to play through it again, I'm like, that's why I love this. It's that thing, it's that genre, it's that they inserted it a little bit in a way that's, you know, by the end you're trying to get the city back on its feet. So it's not a permanent wasteland, but it is a wasteland for a huge portion of that game. And everything you do in it is lawless and there's no more rules. And it's just that stuff appeals to me as it always does. So I really, really like that game. And I think I'm going to play the whole damned thing again.
Now, so, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to have a controversial opinion because I actually like Arkham Knight. Most people don't.
Yeah.
Most people, if you ask what they like, they'll either say they like the first one or the second one. but the third one is almost always permanently relegated to the number three position, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually like Arkham Knight more than I liked Arkham City.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, it wasn't so much that it wasn't what you were describing,
right?
But it was more of City was a big letdown for me because I was the person that kind of glommed onto that. It's in a tight little area that kind of expands as you gain new abilities. And it wasn't about this big whole open world. And they didn't just inundate the place with Riddler trophies. I mean, it's something like go collect the 497 Riddler trophies we've put in the game. And it's just like, no, why?
There are so many.
So I can fight the Riddler. Who cares? But I did think they did the Batmobile actually pretty well for a thing that when they announced it, I was like, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is actually executed pretty well. And I was one of the lucky people that game on PC had a lot of problems and I didn't run into any of them.
I didn't either. For some reason, my configuration ran that thing as silky smooth as you could ever ask for at the time. And I remember it was, you know, PC players are pretty pissed. Reviews wise, PS4 and Xbox.
It was a big controversy, wasn't it?
It was a big one for PC players. For console people, that thing reviewed in the high 90s or the early 90s out of 100, generally speaking, across the board. I mean, it was well received critically. The big complaint I remember wasn't so much that the game was problematic as it was PC players got the shit end of the stick and it was broken
like
for them.
Like a DRM thing?
No, it was just a broken.
The port wasn't very good.
Yeah, was that what it was? And there was more to it than that, or was that it?
Maybe there was a lot of controversy about the port being rushed, and stories came out. A bunch of people got mad at the people who ported it, and they said, this is the time frame we were given. This is what we were told to do. Don't put it on us.
Yeah.
And talk to WB about it, and then they went back to the publisher. It got messy. It got rough.
It did, and what's weird is guys like John and I were playing it during that time with no issues, and I felt a little guilty about it because I just wasn't having any
problems. Yeah, I was posting screenshots and stuff like that. I'm like, ah, this game's so good. And people are like, I can't play it.
Yeah, I can't play it. So it took a lot of heat that way. I'm playing it now, too, by the way, outside of that heat. And as usual, turns out internet heat does sort of, you know, it affects you when you're in the middle of playing a thing. So, you know, who knows how we'll feel about what's a controversial one. Can't think of one, but there's a million of them like that.
One that's controversial right now? Probably Epic Game Store, I guess. That's the whole store. I don't know if there's a controversial game right now, to be honest with
you. Yeah, they're always AAAs. They're always a big... It's got to be some big mess like... yeah, I don't think Borderlands. One? Borderlands 3 is not really a mess. It's just sort of Borderlands, and
I don't really count the Epic thing because that's like Epic and not the developers,
right?
Like a game where like people are just like, I am super ripped off from buying this,
right? And that's how people felt. One. PC people really felt that way, and they were like, we're gonna fix it, we're gonna do this stuff, and they eventually, I don't know how long it took, but it was fine. But because it worked fine for me, I just played it, and it was great. Now I love it. But John, you were going to say something.
Oh, Anthem. There we go.
Oh, Anthem. There you go.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate lately is Anthem. Yeah.
Yeah, Anthem was the big headline one, though.
Yeah.
I don't think that game's going to get any better outside of the controversy, though. I mean, at least not until some patches come in there. But outside the...
Yeah, but you might be playing that game 5 years from now, and it's like a great game. Like,
possibly.
Forget about all the controversy, just log in and...
Destiny 2 had this at the beginning. It was rough. That launch was bad. And then that's another one. Anyway, they got it working. I got the best one. Sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead. Ubisoft's Rainbow Six Siege was a game that launched to all the bad stuff, bad reviews, critically bad user reviews, glitches, problems, all kinds of balance issues. Like, that thing was basically launched as a giant, fat, freaking dud. And they committed to working on it and fixing it. And now that thing is one of the most popular esports. Everybody freaking loves it. My son plays it constantly with his friends. It's a huge deal now. Like, they fixed it. And I really respect that when that happens. Can that happen to Anthem? I don't know, man. Feels like they can't, but...
That's a big mountain to climb. I hope they do. I liked, you know, I liked parts of it.
Yeah. There are parts to like Fallout 76, someone put in the chat. I keep hearing that's better now and that it's really interesting and weird.
So I don't know if that's enough to get me into that, but I'm also not always huge on the Fallout games. I come to them very late, so
Maybe that one will be perfect for you. You'll come to it nice and late and you'll love it or something. Who knows?
I never played Fallout and said, you know what this game needs? Other people. That was just never on my list of things this game needed.
Someone else to play it. That's what it needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I don't know if it's still up there as the free bundle, but I would recommend grabbing it if you just want to play a great superhero game. I also forgot how brutal those games are. They don't hold back. Like, yeah, Batman's still not trying to kill people, but everybody else is, and there are some gnarly moments in the Arkham series that are very memorable and very cool. I like that game a lot, and I'm going to keep playing it, even though it's old. It's almost 5 years old. Well, 4 years old, I guess. But that the 4 years old now is a lot different than 4 years old in 2005, right?
Yeah. It's definitely a plateau in terms of what you can expect. Like, sure, there might be technological advancements, but for the most part, the games look and feel like they're all on a plateau.
Yeah, which is great. I kind of really love that we're there. As much as I'm a big fan of, like, look at the amazing advancement in a thing, I'm okay with it cresting a little and spreading itself out, because it means the kinds of experiences I can have on, like, a Switch, which is vastly underpowered compared to a modern console, but more powerful than a 360 or a PS3, so it sits in the middle somewhere, is that it can do lots of stuff without you feeling like you're sacrificing something. And I like that, you know? It's not like buying a Game Boy where you're like, oh, well, I'm just stuck with these horrible black and white screens with 8-bit graphics because that's just the best we can do in a portable. Batteries are dead, like, all the time. All that stuff.
Let me go dig out 8 more double A's to put in this thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
No, it was like 4. It was four, though. Double A's, four. Right? Oh, yeah. Man.
Didn't they get a rechargeable battery pack at one point, or you could plug it in?
Maybe. I know when I had mine, I bought rechargeable batteries, but they were the old nickel cadmium garbage kind.
Yeah, you'd have to get like 30. Oh, you'd have to. Yeah, you have to get rechargeable batteries. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was not great. Wasn't optimal.
Oh, man. I remember that. Everybody's house you went over to, they had a counter or a windowsill where they just had a stupid battery compartment.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is really saving us a lot of money. And they'd put it in a device and it worked for 2 seconds. Oh, got to go put it back in the charger. Get out another battery.
In my house, and I don't know if this was always just a fake thing, but in my house, there was always a big Ziploc bag full of batteries in the fridge. Like, just in the fridge. Yeah.
I knew people who did the fridge batteries as well.
And my mom and dad were convinced that the batteries were lasting longer, new or used, it didn't matter, that they would, and maybe they do. I never really looked into it, but I just remember having a house where it was like, oh, I'm in the mood for some Sunny D or whatever's in the fridge. And I would open the fridge and first thing I'd see out of the corner of my eye is a bunch of butter, and then stacked right next to it, a big bag of batteries. Just always the thing.
It's such a funny thing where that was the thing that, like, people were just like, we got to do something about batteries. Like, think about that now. Yesterday at work, they were having problems making a wireless keyboard work. And they said, well, does the battery need to be changed? We haven't changed the battery in this keyboard in what feels like ever. Yeah. I feel like it's the battery that came with the keyboard eons ago when they got the thing.
Yeah.
I opened up the battery compartment. The battery's going bad. Battery acid is coming out of the side of it from old age, and that battery is still working.
Yeah.
That's where we are with batteries now. And it's one. There's not four of them. There's one.
Stuff's more efficient. Yep.
Now you think back to just the age of, well, we got to put them in the fridge and get a little more time out of it.
Yeah. No, it was always a thing. And now I have some rechargeables I use for certain things. I have a portable recorder thing, this thing, which is like a little... I don't know what these are called. What is this called?
Oh, I've seen those before.
Record. I use it at BlizzCon for interviews and stuff. Although the 1 year, I guess all three of us are in there. I had forgotten it. We used our phones. Remember that?
And it worked fine. And then you're like, well.
Oh, no, it wasn't that I didn't have it. It's that the douche out front, the security said you can't have one of these.
Security guy, yeah. I remember we asked about this. Oh, my gosh. It looked like a bomb.
I was so annoyed by that.
The security at BlizzCon, they're pretty stupid.
They were fine 2 years ago.
You're one of them listening, sorry, but
yeah.
In my experience, whenever I've gone, they're pretty just like Like, not, you're going to like basically a tech convention.
Yeah.
It is gaming, but it's like, and then these guys are from 1822.
Yeah, and they were checking
what is this recording device?
They were checking everybody's swag boxes, even though they were the swag boxes from the event. And I understand that, you know, you got to be careful or whatever, but this was just bad planning because everybody in line has one because you just got them and now you're in line and they're all like, we got to tear that box open and look in every single swag box. That was so stupid. This is mostly a last year problem. I don't know if they'll improve it this year, but last year was bad that way.
I'm happy for them to check for guns.
Well, yeah, you
want to. And all kinds of close things, no matter what. I feel like that's okay.
You think that one's all right? I don't know. I feel like
I agree, but there is an element groups. When they're like, well, I don't know about this. If you brought in a gramophone, maybe we could.
I just think when they actually look at it, it doesn't look like a gun or an actual bomb. It looks like a recorder.
Yeah,
they should let you keep it. I'm with the press.
Yeah, and I said to the guy, well, I'm taking my phone in. I go, well, my phone records just like that does. That just has better microphones on it. Well, we can't let those in. And the guy in front of me, who I think was Garrett, took in a tripod and two cameras and about 8 batteries. He looked like he was carrying 5 bombs worth of stuff. Like, what are you? Oh, I was so annoyed. Still.
Ah, that's a video recorder like they use in Hollywood.
Yeah.
We're going to let him through because he's filming a motion picture.
You can't put a bomb in the camera.
I mean, you can, but you don't.
I'm just saying your device is much smaller.
It was a little tiny thing.
You should have been able to go in with that. I was pissed.
It's not going to hurt anybody, this thing. Anyway, my point was.
I mean, to be fair, it kind of does look like.
It looks like a taser, honestly. There is a taser quality to it.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, if you're making a student film or a low-budget film, you could probably use that as the bomb detonator device, and nobody would know. It does look like, you know, what you would control the bomb with.
Sure. And John's right. These two things on top look like little tasers.
Yeah.
Like, it might tase you if I used it or whatever. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
But look, you had a press pass. If you want to tase somebody, that's your right.
Press pass. Didn't seem to make any difference last year.
You didn't have a press pass. Didn't you have a press pass and a I'm
special pass? He had an exhibitor badge or something like that.
I had a press pass. I had a press pass and I had a talent pass, which means you're on stage. And even that was so like.
The talent is going to bomb the thing. Like, what?
Welcome
to the clever ploy. They started a convention.
I have a great opportunity to make a presentation, but I'm going to ruin it by exploding the entire building.
It's like, welcome to the WoW Q&A. I'm Scott Johnson. Stick your head between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye. Boom! Like, I was going to do that. I mean, who does that? Yeah. No one does that. Or no one does that. That's been asked to be up on stage. They vetted me before. Mike Morheim
comes out with a dynamite vest, like out of a cartoon. On. We had a great year at Blizzard this year.
Great esports year. Great esports, and
we're so psyched to bring you out as a community, and then take you out as a community. Boom.
Oh,
that's awful.
If that wasn't so like so close to the bone, it
wasn't
actual,
so prescient and morbid. Yeah, it's like you're like nobody does that, but you're like, well, it's been happening a lot in the past.
All right, how about this then? How about Morheim does it, but he has demands, and it's actually a fake bomb, so he's just trying to get demands. What would his demands be? What do you think it would be?
Be good to each other. Like, all right, hey,
be good to each
other. Everybody, try to be nicer, or I'll blow you up.
Release a GD RTS. Probably every time someone's like, we're going to release something that's not an RTS, he's like, oh man,
I like Star
Company. I can't even pick the game I want released.
Yeah, I can see that. StarCraft 2
back on the main stage. Overwatch, you're relegated to the slums.
I mean, I'll even take Heroes over that right now, he'd say. Boom. Anyway, so there's that. Hey, Bo, you've been playing Doom again because the new Doom's coming out. So I'm assuming you got like an itch to finish or to replay Doom again. 2016's
That's
Doom.
Exactly it. Doom Eternal's coming in November. And I'm like, I can't wait till November to play Doom. I'm like, oh, there's a Doom. Let me play that.
I think that's great. How do you feel about the second run? I assume it's your second run.
I played like Friday, like late, and I played all day yesterday. I had tons of stuff I should have done with my day off. But I basically played from the time I woke up to the time I went to bed.
Yeah.
Nothing but play Doom.
What difficulty setting did you play on?
I played on Hurt Me Plenty, which is the medium, because I just wanted to have an enjoyable experience.
It's a great game.
But I may crank it up to Ultra Violence and do one more playthrough, was my thinking. And I'm not going to do Nightmare. I tried playing a bit of Nightmare, but it's like one little shot and you're dead. Like, it's super annoying. I just don't like reloading that much. I'm not that good. So,
do they still have that weird make your own map mode thing? Is that still a thing in there?
They have the snap map thing, which, I mean, it's funny because the campaign feels short, but it honestly takes like a good couple hours when you're looking for all the secrets to get through a level.
Yeah.
But now that I've gotten pretty much completionist on all the secrets, I can just sort of breeze through the levels a lot faster. Like, I went back. You can go back and do levels to get some of the unlock points and stuff. And when you go through it not having to find anything, you can go through them really quickly.
Hmm.
Also, when you get the super shotgun, you go back to an earlier level, you kind of own everything super easily. Hmm. So there's that too. But nice. I find like the early levels of that game super scary, but then it gets to be less scary as you get farther, which is weird because you go to hell. But
it's like real life. It's scary right now, but when we actually go to hell, it'll be fine.
It's when you're fully equipped with upgrades and guns, and you feel like things can't really, you know, you have options, it's better. But when you just all you have is like the shotgun, and then these hell knights are coming at you, they're pretty intense. They don't die easily to a shotgun.
That's pretty cool. I've been tempted here and there just to crack that open, but
it's a big download, unfortunately, because it feels like it's the kind of game you kind of just want to load up and play a couple levels, but you can't keep it on your hard disk,
right?
Yeah,
you know, because you're playing through a lot of different games, but it's like, it's just fun. The game's fun. I'm really looking forward to Eternal. I kind of hope it's the case where, you know, they just take what they originally did and just make it better. So
that reminds me, so we have I think he listens to this show. I know he listens to the Boop show, but he's kind of all into the gaming stuff we do. And he developed a game with a team. You guys are going to die when you hear about this. I'm going to stream it at some point, but I just got to make sure I remember the name. I don't want to screw this up. I believe it's called Flotsam, but let me double check.
Flotsam and Jetsam.
Games. Where's my
yep, the two eels from The Little Mermaid.
There it is, Flotsam. So this is now in early access, I believe, or I might still have an early code. Oh, no, it's in early access now. Imagine someone made a game based on Waterworld. That's what this is. So it's a big, the world has been flooded, and you're trying to basically build one of those places that the Mariner would go to in that movie to fuel up, or, you know, get food or trade dirt for something else and all that. Lots of bridges and weird structures, basically Mad Max on the water, and they've made it. So it's a city builder with all of those features, but, and all of the things you like about city builders, like, well, I need to have this tech to do this, or I need to, you know, research this or build more villagers or whatever. It's a lot of that same kind of stuff, but you're building a big water world type base, and I'm
watching the trailer right now. It looks very happy.
It's very
it
happy.
Adorable.
It's lots of personality.
It looks cool.
It's neat.
It's like a city builder game. Basically.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically a city builder, but you're building the Mad Max world type city, and or not Mad Max. Sorry, Waterworld. And I know a lot of people don't love Waterworld, but I do. I see it once a year. That's a great movie.
I love Waterworld.
Waterworld's awesome. I know it's not great, people. We know. You don't have to tell us why. John and I both know what we're watching is not, like, great, okay? We know that. It's just conceptually something's going on there that's right. I can't explain it. I just love it. So this is just, like, manna from heaven. So I haven't really dug too deep. I played about an hour the other day. I'm going to stream this a bit. But, yeah, Flotsam is a thing, and it's cool. I'm glad I got
it. Says, instead of saying available on early access, it says available on early access.
Okay. Well, you know, you can't hit a home run every time.
No, or can you? Because that's not too bad of a pun. It's
all right. I like that pun. I'm fine with that.
All right.
Baton.
You rule it off. You ruled it offside, John.
It's offside. I'm
he said.
Awailable. It doesn't have anything to do with whale. Well, I guess I see a whale.
There is a whale.
A whale.
Yeah, there's a whale. Okay. All right. In lieu of emails, I'm going to read a comment in the chat room, and we're going to talk about it. Baton216 says, is Diablo Immortal dead? No. Here's my theory, and then we can go around the table. My theory is they will announce Diablo 4 or whatever that's called, the big main, you know, hardcore Diablo experience, whatever's next that gets announced this year at about a month and a half from now or a month and a week or whatever. And then they'll talk about what it is. They'll show some video. They'll show some gameplay stuff. They'll do whatever they do. And at the end, before the Diablo team is done, they'll say, oh, and one more thing. You can get Immortal today on your phones to tide you over till next year or whatever it's going to come out. Like they won't even say that. They'll just say, hey, Immortal, remember that? It's playable today. And they'll leave it at that. And that'll make everybody like Immortal just a slight tiny bit more because they know that they can deal with it on that level. So that's my prediction. Curious what you guys would say. Bo, what do you think they're going to do? Do you think Diablo Immortal is dead? Because they haven't said peep about it since last year, since the big reveal.
No, like that's getting launched. Even if it doesn't get launched here, it'll be launched for China, right? Like it's,
yeah,
for sure it's coming out. Like they're not putting this game out,
right?
I like to think that what you're saying is true because when they announced Diablo, Diablo is nowhere near being done,
right?
Diablo 4 for sure, it's just going to get announced.
Yeah.
So yeah, that seems likely.
And also, just seems like a cool way of saying, and you've got a keys to a brand new car under your chair, but in this case, it's and the game's out today for you guys. Go get it or whatever. Like that's better than. That's what they should have had last year. I mean, honestly, should have announced it and released it the same day.
And we played it. It's in good shape for a mobile game. Like it'll get launched.
Yeah,
for sure.
They had a whole year to work on it. John, do you have a differing opinion, or what do you think they're going to do?
No, I think you guys are probably on the right track. I think Blizzard, for some reason, didn't understand their audience, or maybe they did, and they just said, oh, you know what, we're going to do it anyway. I don't think they expected the outcome that it got last year, or maybe they thought in a different world it would fall differently. I think they now are painfully aware of their audience at BlizzCon, and I do think it's weird, right? Like if you're Blizzard and you say, okay, well, we have a cool mobile game and we want to talk about it. Do we not talk about it at our big press conference just because we know the audience there is going to react poorly? Like that's a decision they're going to have to make going forward. And it's weird if they don't do it, but also if they do it, then you've got a bunch of people booing the new thing you're trying to get people hyped for. So I think the way they cushion that is they have something like, it's available now, you're getting it for free, it has controller support, like something that speaks to the crowd in some way that says, hey, you might actually enjoy this.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's just, oh, and one other thing, remember Immortal? That's out today. And then stage goes black and then on comes the next thing. And it's not more, you know, Immortal talk, like just barely mention the thing. I think that would be the way to do it. But
now sometimes Blizzard does lean into their memes.
Right.
And I can see a world where they have a little fun if they know they've got Diablo 4 waiting in the wings, where they do talk about it and they take the hit of boo because they know they're about to get a big cheer as soon as they say and Diablo 4. Right.
Yeah.
They can control it that way too. And they could, you know, say, you know, this is news you're really going to want to get your phone out for if you have phones, you know, something goofy like that. Cause they do occasionally just lean into it.
You think Jay Allen Brack has to make some comment about how he was the one on stage said about WoW Classic, you think you want it, but you don't? Like, is he going to have to, he's going to have to eat a little crow there, right? They're going to have to make some reference because that thing did really well for them. You know?
I mean, maybe, you know, that's the hard thing. Sometimes people say something off the cuff and you're up there and you've got it committed to memory and hearts and minds at that point. The amount of things I've said about WoW and Diablo and all that I've been wrong about, I get to be mostly obscure when I do it, but they don't get that luxury.
So. No. And he doesn't seem like the type. Well, I don't know. He's weird. He's less scripted than Morheim, but also in some ways feels more. The word more plugged up like
maybe he's just there's a reason that there's scripted stuff because you end up saying things that
think you want it but you don't.
Yeah, like if you have a bit of an arrogant twinge to you, like audience will take that and run, and that makes it, you know, you make the divide larger.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Like they may like it, just, you know, World of Warcraft may be successful because Jalen Brack play the heel, or you know, the attitude was like, yeah, this is not a big deal. It's just classic. Everyone's like, oh yeah, we're gonna love classic.
Yeah, we'll show you,
Jalen Brack.
I'm gonna pay you $15 a month to prove you wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So there might be. I mean, I don't know. I don't think stuff like that's calculated, but it is funny to watch. People push back against comments like these made by Blizzard, you know, ambassadors.
And I didn't want. I don't want to suggest that he was constipated. So we cleared that part up, though. I didn't. When I said he's plugged up, I didn't mean that.
Just more of that. I think they're game designers. I think it's their profession to know what's fun and what's not fun. Yep. So when the unwashed masses are like, you can't tell me what's fun, it's like, well, I've been doing this for 30 years.
I kind of can tell you, yeah.
But, like, no one's going to hear that. Nope. You know, like, that's, you know, because you can't tell anyone what's fun or not. We all know what we think is fun, even though there's smarter people who know what people actually find fun versus what they think and they say they find fun, if I'm making any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we all think things about ourselves that are wrong if you were to examine it statistically.
Sure.
And I feel like game designers, like, have probably spent a lot of their time thinking and working in this medium where people are just like, I play 80 hours a week. I know what I like. But never actually examine their slash play and are honest about them. It's all anecdotal and all like top surface consciousness and not true pattern study.
So it's almost like your scenario also works for politics and also works for,
it's the works same for thing. Everything. We like self-describe ourselves all the time. But if we looked at our statistics and our behavior and what we actually do, it probably wouldn't pair up to the way we describe. And then when somebody tries to tell us these things and it's in conflict with our view of ourselves, we can get angry about it.
Yep.
That was why I always liked Ghostcrawler. Greg, when he would come out, he would just break it down for people, and people would go, I play this game all the time and I think this is the way it needs to be because of this, and they'd lay out decent arguments and all of that. He would sit down and he would write he'd put in the time and the work and the effort to walk you through the logic behind it, and by the end you may not have agreed with him in the end, but like, he's laid out the expectations for the players and the behaviors of the players and has given you a good reason for why they did what they did.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people continue to just push harder against that. But for me, it was always really fresh to get all the considerations they were taking in rather than just the hip fire, like, yeah, we're just doing it, you know, and draw your own conclusions.
He was the best voice for that stuff. I think it's still a sorely missed part of Blizzard. It's not that anybody else couldn't be that guy. They just don't have his in particular way of doing it or pushing. I mean, he still does this for the league, for Riot stuff now that he's over there. He'll go off forever on a big giant tweet longer post where it's like 20 paragraphs about an argument about why they're changing a character or why they steer away from a certain mechanic or whatever it is. It's great. Like, I really miss that voice there. Nobody does that now. I mean, you kind of get it out of Ian, but it's a different position also. Ian's in a, you know, leadership position. Yeah. He can't exactly go rogue a little bit like the way that Ghostcrawler did. So, yeah, it's kind of a bummer. I should tell you something funny he told me the other day. I can't say it on the air, though. It was really funny. Oh, and I heard it from Greg. Yeah. Greg was, he's the nicest human being, but he also has got a very razor sharp wit sometimes, and it can be taken wrong if you don't have the right ear.
Well, don't repeat it here.
No, I'm not going to say it here. There's no way I'm saying it here. Forget it. All right. That's it. That's all we're doing today. That's the show.
Yeah.
Still a nice beefy show.
Yeah. We'll be back in a couple days to walk you through some more stuff. Yeah. It's not that long of a wait.
Won't be that long at all. Don't forget, in the meantime, though, you can follow us all on Twitter. Bo's always got stuff to say at Bo Schwartz. You can find John at John_Jagger, me at Scott Johnson, and the show at Core Pod. And one nice thing about following all of that is when we go live, often all of us are tweeting that, hey, we're about to go live, but for sure the Core Pod one does. And it's a great way to be reminded. It's like built-in little, oh yeah, right, they record tonight. I'm going to go watch that live on the Twitch channel. But if you want the podcast only, that's cool too. That's over at frogpants.com/core. What else? patreon.com/core show. Thank you for your support over there, by the way. We really appreciate it. You're going to find something you'll like for supporting us today at patreon.com/core show. Giant thanks to everybody who does. And if you haven't yet, I would just suggest you consider it. If you really like what we do, boom, there it is. You can also leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462, and I have some of those queued up and ready to go for Wednesday. So Wednesday should be a good show. Going to do a little Apple Arcade review. Nothing too crazy. I'm not going to turn into a mobile show. I just want to extol some virtues I found that I didn't expect from a service that I didn't think was going to work. And I found myself surprised on the other side, as many of my other friends have been telling me as well. It's a weird thing. So we'll go into that a little bit. And other cool stuff this week on Core. That'll be Wednesday. That's Core 193 in the bucket, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Bo, any final wise words from Bo? Caught you off guard.
I really started out strong last week. So the wise words today would be... don't set a library on fire.
Don't set a library on fire. It's a good advice. If you guys haven't heard the latest couple of episodes from There Will Be Dungeons, go check those out, because John did a bang-up job with his alternate universe inverse storytelling for a two-parter we did. So check that out as well. John, do you have any final words of wisdom before we go?
Yeah. Love your librarians. They have a hard job. They have a tough time. They have to deal with literally anybody off the street. Be good to your librarians and your civic workers and public buildings in general. Everybody has to use it.
Wow. That's actually very wise. Like I say all in kidding, like joking, say something wise, but that was actually wise. So use John's advice. Be like John, is what I'm saying. Thank you all for listening. That's going to do it. We'll be back on Wednesday. Have a great week. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.